Amen. Tonight's sermon is entitled Tithing in the Old and New Testaments. Tithing in the Old and New Testament. You say tithing? Yeah, tithing. Now, you know, whenever you preach about the subject, I feel like I have to kind of give this caveat that, you know, this isn't what we're about here. We're not all about money in this church. Anyone's been here for any length of time knows that. But, you know, you kind of have to give that because there's this stigma out there that, you know, churches are all about money. And, you know, for a lot of churches, that's true. That's a justified stigma. Like, some people could say that. But you know, I went back and I looked over the sermons that have been preached, you know, and the best I can tell, the last time this a whole sermon was dedicated to this topic was 2014. So it's been a little while, you know, and I understand it's not one of the most exciting topics to preach on. And I'll be honest, it's not the most exciting topic to preach either. But it's definitely a necessary one that you got to touch on. You know, the Bible doesn't put a lot of emphasis on it, but it is in there. So I thought tonight would be just a good night to brush up on that and maybe even give at the end just some practical tips that, you know, that people wonder about. There are some things about tithing that, you know, questions I've heard even recently that people have about it. And I just thought this would be a good night to kind of address that. So we're going to look at tithing in the Old and New Testaments. Now you're there in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and keep something there. But if you would, go over to Hebrews chapter 7. Hebrews chapter 7. So, you know, just getting laying the groundwork. Of course, most people are probably familiar with that word tithe, but it's not something you hear a lot in our modern vernacular. If you're unchurched, you probably wouldn't even know what that is if you've never been in church. I know when I first got in church, I had to ask, what does tithe mean? So tithe basically just means a tenth. You know, it just means a tenth of something. And when we're talking about tithing, we're talking about, you know, giving a tenth of your income unto the Lord. That's what the biblical concept of tithing is. And you see this all throughout Scripture, you know, beginning, you know, in Genesis 8 and even before that, but in Genesis 28, which is a good definition of where we can define the word tithing. In verse 22, it's, of course, talking about Jacob when he was, you know, fleeing from his brother Esau. It says, "And this stone which I have set for a pillar shall be God's house, and of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give the tenth unto thee." Now, when we're talking about, you know, tithing in the Old and New Testament, you know, one of the arguments that come up often against tithing is people will say, well, tithing is just something that was reserved for the Levitical priesthood. You know, that's the only time that tithing was practiced in the Bible. The New Testament doesn't teach that. And really nothing can be further from the truth. Of course, it was taught during the Levitical priesthood. But even here in Genesis 28, and we'll see here in a minute, even before that, you know, tithing is something that comes up in the Scripture. You know, I would even, you know, propose, maybe, I can't really, you know, you could argue with this and say it's not the case, but I would even say that the concept of tithing is kind of there even in the Garden of Eden. If you think about the fact that they were allowed to eat of all these other trees, but there was one tree that God reserved for himself, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So there's this concept of God reserving something for himself that is off limits to man, that belongs unto the Lord. And of course, we could go to Genesis chapter 14, where, you know, there's the real first mention of the word tithing, when we're looking to see that, you know, this biblical concept is seen throughout Scripture. The first mention is in Genesis 14. It says in verse 18, "And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High God." So if you know the story, this is Abraham coming back from the slaughter of the kings, and he's returning the goods unto the king of Babylon. And Melchizedek comes out, and he meets him. And it says in verse 19, "And he blessed him and said, Blessed be Abraham of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth, and possessor of heaven and earth, and blessed be the Most High God, which hath delivered thine enemy into thine hand. And he," talking about Abraham, "gave him," talking about Melchizedek, "tithes of all." So he gave, you know, even Abraham was tithing. You know, it goes all the way back to the time of Abraham. That's the first instance. So this argument that tithing is restricted only to the Levitical priesthood is just not true. You know, we see it very clearly here. So, you know, what's interesting also, you're there in Hebrews 7, is that the first and last mention of tithing in the Bible are both referring to this incident. This incident where Abraham gives tithes unto to the high priest Melchizedek. You're there in Hebrews chapter 7, look at verse 4. "Now consider how great this man was unto whom the patriarch Abraham gave the tenth of the spoils." So again, there's a good way to define that word tithe. He gave a tenth, right? And it says in verse 5, "And verily they that are of the sons of Levi who receive the office of the priesthood have a commandment to take tithes of the people according to the law, that is of their brethren, though they come out of the loins of Abraham." So even here, he's making the case and saying, look, you know, the Levitical priesthood or tithing predates even the Levitical priesthood. He's saying, look, Abraham, you know, the Levites tithed in Abraham because they came out of the loins of Abraham. And he goes on and says in verse 6, but he whose descent is not counted from them received the tithes of Abraham and blessed him that had the promises. And without all contradiction, the less is blessed of the better. And here that men that die receive tithes, but there he receiveth them, of whom it is witnessed that he liveth. And as I may so say, Levi also, who received tithes, paid tithes in Abraham, for he was yet in the loins of his father when Melchizedek met him. So again, you know, a tithe is a tenth, and a tithing is something that we see all throughout Scripture, going all the way back to even Abraham. And tithing is something that is commanded. You know, tithing is not something that's optional. You know, it's something that we are commanded to do. The Bible commands us to do a lot of things, and tithing is one of them. Now, if you're there, or actually, if you would, go over to Numbers chapter 18. Numbers chapter 18. And bookmark Numbers 18. We'll come back again. First of all, notice it's commanded to be taken. You know, when I say, hey, tithing's commanded, you're probably thinking, yeah, I'm supposed to tithe. And that's true. But notice also that it said there in Hebrews, in verse 5, verily they that are of the sons of Levi who receive the office of the priesthood have a commandment to take the tithes of the people according to law. So it's not only is the tithe commanded to be given, but it's also commanded to be taken. You know, the tithe, the Levites were supposed to take it. That's what they were told. And that's, you find that over here in Numbers 18, look at verse 20. It says, and the Lord spake unto Aaron, thou shalt have no inheritance in their land, neither shalt thou have any part among them. I am thy part and thy inheritance among the children of Israel. And behold, I have given the children of Levi all the tenth in Israel for an inheritance for their service which they serve, even the service of the tabernacle and the congregation. So you got to kind of think about this. How is that a commandment to the Levites, to take the tithes? Because it says there in verse 20, thou shalt have no inheritance in their land, neither shalt thou have any part among them. Basically, what he's saying here is he's commanding them to live off the tithes, that they weren't allowed to, you know, have a separate inheritance and go out and work these other jobs. And they were commanded to take the tithes and to live off of them. So they didn't have any inheritance. They didn't have any other source of income. You know, so they were commanded, in a sense, to take the tithe. You can see what is meant by that in Hebrews chapter 7. That kind of clears that up. Now, the tithe in the Old Testament, you know, took the form of produce. It took the form of livestock and even money. And this is another one of these, you know, foolish arguments that people, the anti-tithers, bring up. You know, they'll say, well, you know, the Old Testament, it was just all livestock and it was all just, you know, produce. There wasn't any money. Go over to Leviticus chapter 27. Go over to Leviticus 27. In Leviticus chapter 27, I'll begin reading in verse 30. And it says in verse 30 of Leviticus 27, and all the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's. It is holy unto the Lord. See, there you go. It's just vegetables, right? Well, let's keep reading in verse 31. And if a man will at all redeem aught of his tithes, he shall add thereto the fifth part thereof. So what does it mean to redeem his tithes? Okay, and it goes on in verse 32, and concerning the tithe of the herd or of the flock, even whatsoever passeth under the law, the rod, the tenth shall be holy unto the Lord. He shall not search whether it be good or bad, neither shall he change it. And if he change it at all, so he's talking about if a guy, you know, is going to give a tithe of the flock, right? But he wants to change it, you know, he wants to redeem it. It says there, and if he shall change it at all, then both it and the change thereof shall be holy. It shall not be redeemed. So there were some things they could redeem, some things they couldn't. But go over to Numbers chapter 18. So this idea of changing it or redeeming it is to turn it into money. That's what I believe the Bible's teaching here. So instead of giving, you know, of that fruit of the land, and giving those, you know, the vegetables and so on and so forth, they could have used money instead. Look at, you know, because in Numbers 18, we get an idea of what it means to redeem or to change something. In verse 15, it says, everything that openeth the matrix in all flesh, which they bring unto the Lord, whether it be of men or beasts, shall be thine. Nevertheless, the firstborn of man that shalt thou surely redeem, and the firstling of unclean beasts thou shalt redeem. And those who are to be redeemed from a month old, thou shalt redeem them according to thine estimation, for the money of five shekels after the shekel of the sanctuary, which is 20 gerahs. So even there we see that this changing or this redeeming is instead of giving, you know, a what was commanded, instead of giving, you know, the firstborn of a man, you know, or the firstling of an unclean beast, they were to actually give money instead at the estimation. So you could see how even in the Old Testament, it wasn't just limited to livestock. It wasn't just limited to agriculture or products. You know, it was also money. So this, again, I'm just touching on that because when you bring up this subject, you got to think about some of the counter arguments. And that is an argument that's out there. Well, we don't tithe, in the New Testament because in the Old Testament, you know, they just brought, you know, animals and fruits and vegetables. You know, but if you follow that logic through, that just means, you know, when you go to the grocery store and get a head of lettuce or whatever, you should take some of that lettuce off and bring that in the offering plate. You know, and you maybe bring some broccoli and, you know, snap a carrot in half, throw that on the plate. I mean, is that what they're saying? You know, that's kind of where their logic leads them, and it's foolish. So, but first of all, getting back to what I was saying, is that tithing is commanded. Okay, and that's tithing is commanded to be taken, but tithing is also commanded to be given. And if you would, go over to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2, and we'll start to look at some of the examples in the New Testament. But tithing is commanded to be given. The Bible says in Deuteronomy 14, thou shalt truly tithe all the increase of thy seed. Again, so it's something that's commanded to be given. And tithing is taught in the New Testament. And people object and say, no, tithing was done away in Christ. You know, that's Old Testament law. We don't follow that anymore. Now, it is true that there are some things that of the Old Testament that we no longer observe as New Testament Christians. There are things that are done away in Christ. But the New Testament is very careful to tell us exactly what those things are. And you know what? Tithing isn't one of them. You can't show me anywhere in the New Testament where it says, thou shalt not tithe, or where tithing is done away in Christ. It's not taught. Look at Colossians chapter 2, look at verse 16. It says, let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of an holy day or the new moon or of the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. So right there, those are specific things that Paul is narrowing in on and saying these are the things that are done away in Christ. Meat, drink, respect of unholy day, or of the new moon, or of the Sabbath days. You know, and elsewhere we could turn and see that circumcision is something that's done away in Christ. But, you know, tithing's not on that list. You know, unless God has specifically done away with something in the New Testament, it is still in force. I mean, you know, the argument that we often use is, okay, well, what about all the other Old Testament laws? Are those also off the books? So now you can, you know, commit incest, you know, bestiality, all these other things. That's okay in Christ. It's a foolish notion. It's a dumb way of thinking. Go over to Hebrews chapter 7 where you were. Or I don't know if I had you there, but go to Hebrews 7. Tithing is taught in the New Testament. It's not just something that's limited to the Old Testament. And we see that because of the fact that the New Testament is very specific about the things which have changed or been done away with. Now, in Hebrews chapter 7, look at verse 14. And you got to kind of follow me on this one, all right? This one's a little bit kind of a different take, but I think it's right. So if you look at verse 14, it says, for it is evident that the Lord sprang out of Judah, which Moses spake concerning nothing concerning the priesthood. And I don't have it in there. Let me just make sure. I want to make sure I get it right. So I'm going to go to Hebrews 7. Bear with me for a moment. In Hebrews, he talks about the fact that the priesthood has been changed, okay? Now, and we'll just read it because I want to make sure I get it right. Hebrews chapter 7. Verse 12, for the priesthood being changed, there's made of a necessity a change of the law also. Now, notice there, he didn't say that the priesthood was done away. That's not what he said. He said the priesthood was changed, okay? And, of course, we understand from Hebrews 7 that change is that Christ has now become our high priest. He is the high priest after the order of Melchizedek. That is the change that has taken place. Jesus is our high priest in heaven, okay? Now, the high priest's job in the Old Testament was to minister, you know, on behalf of the people unto the Lord, okay? That was the nature of that job. That was what they were to do. Now, that part of that job hasn't changed either. You know, Jesus is in heaven, you know, and he makes prayers and intercessions for us. But, you know, as far as, you know, the day-to-day stuff that we have to deal with, the nitty-gritty of just living life here on earth, the practical matters, you know, Jesus doesn't come down here and teach us those things personally. You know, he doesn't come down here and teach us all the things that we have questions about. He's actually given us ministers that do that on his behalf, okay? Just like you kind of had the high priest in the Old Testament, you know, and he had certain duties, and then the other Levites, they had, you know, I guess you could call them lesser duties. You know, there was only, the high priest was the only one that was allowed to go into the holiest of holies once a year, you know, and then the other priests, they had the more day-to-day stuff, you know, attending to the altar, cleaning things up, taking up and setting down the tabernacle, so on and so forth. So yet the priesthood has changed in the sense that Jesus has now become our high priest, but we have ministers here in the local church. You know, the way Christ ministers, our high priest ministers to us, is of course through the Bible and the Holy Spirit. But a big component of the way he ministers to us is through the local church, is through the ministers that are in the local church. That's what, you know, in Ephesians chapter 4, you know, it says in verse 8, wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. And it says he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and some teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. That's the reason for the local church. That's why God has given, you know, preachers and teachers to the local church, is for the edifying of the body of Christ. Now, you say, where are you going with this? Well, just like the Levitical priesthood in the Old Testament, you know, they were flesh and blood human beings, and they had physical needs. You know, that's why God gave them the tithes of the people to support them so that they could be wholly devoted to those duties that were given only to them. You know, you could make that same application today to the New Testament church. You know, those that are ministering in Christ's stead, you know, those that are ministering on our high priest's behalf, we still have physical needs. You know, we, like the Levites, still have families to raise, mouths to feed, you know, have to put clothes on people, have to put roofs over people's heads, you know, have to pay for midwives and all these other things, right? We have these needs. These haven't gone away. In fact, Paul, he goes on and he even cites, if you would, go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. And people, you know, they'll get upset and say, well, you know, I just don't understand why we need to tithe. You know, why is that commanded? Why, you know, you're just insisting on it because, you know, you just want to take it easy or something. Now, look, are there ministers out there that are just all about making money and taking it easy and not doing the work of the ministry? Sure there are, you know, but not in this church and not in a lot of other churches that I know. You know, there are ministers who are serious about the work of the ministry. You know, and they are, the Bible says that they are worthy of double honor, you know, that we should, you know, we should be willing to communicate with such. Because it is work. You know, the ministry at the end of the day is work. If you're doing it right, it's work. It's not easy. It's a job like any other job that's out there. Any other person that has a job, it's the same thing. Right. You know, there's still the mundane duties that have to get done. There's still all the, you know, the fine print that has to get taken care of, you know, the checks that have to be written, the bills that have to be paid, you know, and people, you know, have to understand, and I don't, this, you know, this crowd probably isn't among, you know, struggling with this, you know, but people need to understand, you know, the tithe is important because of the fact that those are some nice chairs you're sitting on, right? I think they're pretty comfortable. You know, if you were here when the old chairs were here, you'd really appreciate those chairs, right? You know, we're shipping those things out. We're getting rid of them. We're sending them to the other side of the country. You know, get those things away from us, right? But you know what? Those chairs weren't free. You know, and I didn't pay for them. You know, Pastor Anderson didn't pay for them. You know who paid for them? The church paid for them. And how did they pay for it? Through the tithe, right? It's not just going all towards someone's salary, you know, and making sure that they're taken care of, they have what they need. But it also allows us to do a lot of other things for the Lord, to make, you know, have nice murals, have a nice big building, put a foosball table in the back, have some, you know, place for people to go fellowship. We have a lot of nice things because of the tithe. So you can see, you know, tithing is very important, you know. And here's the thing. We could have church without the tithe. You know, if everyone just wanted to quit tithing and just said, you know what, Brother Corbin's wrong. You know, he makes no sense. I don't see it in Scripture. You know, tithing in the New Testament is done away. And everyone just says, you know what, we're not going to tithe anymore. You know, we could still have church. You know, but we just wouldn't do it in here. You know, maybe we just have to start having smaller groups and meeting in different people's houses and use their electricity and use their internet and use, you know, their printer and their paper and so on and so forth and on and on and on. There are many other expenses that the church incurs, and that's what the tithe is used for. So it's very practical, and it's foolish to think that there's people out there that actually have a problem with this. And we'll, you know, at the end of the day, the reason people pick on tithing is because of the fact that if you have a problem with tithing, you say, you know, tithing is a deal breaker for me. Like, I'm not going to go to church that they practice tithing. I think you've pretty much just ruled out every church there is. I mean, maybe there's some obscure church out there where they don't have tithing, and maybe it's just like six dudes in a living room somewhere calling it church. It's not, you know, they're all pastors or they're all whatever. They all have a title or something like that. You know, they're not really doing anything for the Lord. They're just getting together and talking about tithing every Sunday or something, why they don't do it and patting themselves on the back. You know, that kind of thing is out there, but that's not a legitimate church. So when you say, well, I just don't go any, and there's people out there that are like this. They just say, oh, I'm not going to go to any church that practices tithing because I'm just against it. Like, and they think it's like the greatest evil that's ever been perpetuated upon mankind. You know, that somebody would insist on tithing to pay for the salaries, to pay for the bills, to just to make the place run and function. Like, it's just this great tragedy that's like, and really it's insulting to so many people's intelligence. I mean, anyone with half a brain could figure this out. And basically when you're saying, well, no, the Bible doesn't teach that. They just kind of just paint with this broad brush and just say, you know, everybody that believes in that just must be stupid to not understand that. And it's actually insulting. But you're there in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. And we'll see here, you know, you say, well, where does the New Testament teach tithing? You know, 1 Corinthians 9 is pretty much the nail in the coffin. I mean, it's. I don't see how you read 1 Corinthians 9 and walk away and say, oh, that teaches not to tithe, right? Look at verse 1. He says, am not I an apostle? Am not I free? Have I not seen Jesus Christ our Lord? Are ye not my work in the Lord? If I be not an apostle unto others, yea, doubtless I am to you. For the seal of my apostleship are ye in the Lord. Mine answer to them that do examine me is this. Have we not power to eat and drink? Have we not power to lead about a sister, a wife, as well as other apostles, which are, and as the brethren of the Lord and Cephas? Or I only and Barnabas, have we not power to forbear working? Now, what's Paul saying there? He says, have we not power to forbear working? Is he talking about, have we not power to, you know, just kick back and put our feet up and enjoy a cool beverage, you know, and just take the time off? That's not what he's saying. He's talking about the working that he's talking about, the forbearing of that work, the specific working is, you know, a secular job. That's what he's referring to. Have we not power to forbear a secular job and to just be full-time in the ministry? Look at verse 7. Who goeth a warfare at any time in his own charges? Who planted the vineyard and eateth not the fruit thereof? Or who feedeth the flock and eateth not the milk thereof? Say I these things as a man. Now here's Paul in the New Testament, and he's about to take us all the way back to the Old Testament to make his case. He says, or saith not the law the same also? For it is written in the law of Moses, thou shalt not muzzle the mouth of the ox that treadeth out the corn. Doth God take care for oxen? He's saying, has God put that in law because he's just worried that the poor little ox is going to not get enough to eat? He says, does God take care for oxen? Or saith it he altogether for our sakes? Now, who's the our there? Paul, Barnabas, and Cephas, and the other ministers, right? That's who he's. That's the our. He's saying, look, God put that in law for our sake. For our sakes, no doubt, this is written. He that ploweth should plow in hope, and he that thresheth in hope should be partaker of his hope. If we have sown unto you spiritual things, is it a great thing if we should reap your carnal things? And really, that's such a powerful statement right there to think about. People that get all upset about tithing, it's a carnal thing that you're upset about. It's a very carnal thing. Especially when you have a minister, when you have a church, where you're being fed spiritually, when you're being given the word of God, you're giving sound doctrine, you're being encouraged to serve the Lord, and achieving, you're benefiting spiritually, you know, you're profiting spiritually. It's such a small thing that you would give something of your carnal means. You know, you give a little bit of money. It's a very carnal thing that we're talking about here, money, right? He's saying, look, is it a great thing if we shall reap your carnal things? You know, it's kind of a, it's you almost say it's almost not, I don't say it's not a fair trade, but it's a pretty good deal. How about that? That's a pretty good deal.
Right.
You know, I'm going to give a tenth of my income to the local church, and in turn, you know, I'm going to have a minister who's just, you know, given to the ministry of the Word of God and prayer. I'm going to have a nice seat to sit on. You know, if I'm homesick, I'm going to catch it on the live stream on a nice HD camera. You know, it's going to be feeding through high-speed internet. You know, all these things cost money. They're carnal things, though. That's a pretty good trade. Look at verse 13. He says, "Do you not know that they which minister about the holy things live of the things of the temple, and they which wait at the altar are partakers with the altar?" So here he is. He's using the Levitical priesthood to make his point. And people want to say that the Old Testament has done away with tithing. But here's Paul appealing to it. You know, and you can't show me where it's done away. It's not there. And it goes on in verse 14. It says, "Even so hath the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel should live of the gospel." You know, and I know this isn't the most profound sermon. And in fact, I know it's not, because this is something I grasped very easily when I first got saved, first got in church. I mean, when I first got saved and first got in church, I had made friends with a person, an older gentleman who went to another church, and he went to a Bible church, you know, but we were both saved. We both, you know, believed the King James. He had grown up Baptist, and then the church that he was going into changed hands, and they became just a Bible church. It was a good church, but this was one of those churches where they were kind of against tithing, you know, and they were a very small church, and it was a very old building, and so on and so forth. But every now and then he would kind of bring it up. You know, he would kind of say, "Hey, you know, we shouldn't tithe," or something like that. Or he would kind of brag about the fact that, you know, his pastor doesn't need to take a tithe or something like that. And I remember, even as a newborn babe in Christ, just a young Christian, that verse came to my mind. "They which preach the gospel shall live with the gospel." I remember one of the earliest memories I had, and I just said that to him. And you know what he said? "So you got me there." He had no reply. He just kind of paused. He said, "Well, you got me there." I was like, "Man, you're like, you know, three times my age, and you've been saved even longer. Like, you've never read that? You've never heard that?" Like, I remember just scratching my head. So whenever I read that, I always think about that. But, you know, again, this isn't a deep subject. You know, probably most of you already came in here convinced of the fact. You know, and maybe there's a few people in here that kind of on the fence, didn't really know. Or maybe you're just doing it, and you just kind of thought, well, that's just what we do. But let me just say this. You know, you're welcome to remain unconvinced. You know, and you're welcome to just disregard that and just say, "You know what, I'm not going to tithe." You know what, you cannot tithe and come to church here. You cannot tithe and come to church here. You know, the tithe isn't a membership fee. You know, I'm not sure, but I don't think when the ushers or went by with the plate this evening, you know, if you put a tithe in, do they like stamp your hand, or they put a little bracelet around your wrist so you can come back next week? Was there anyone stopping you at the door, like, "That'll be, you know, one-tenth of whatever you made this week"? You know, it's not a membership due. It's not, you know, it's not a fee. It's not something, it's not an admission. You know, the tithe is the Lord's at the end of the day. That's what it says in Leviticus 27. "And all the tithe of the land, whether the seed of the land or the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's. It is holy unto the Lord." And if you would, go over to Malachi chapter 3. So people are welcome to not tithe. People can go ahead and attack tithing and not do it. But just remember, it's you know, I'm not going to lose any sleep over it. You know, I'm not going back there and updating the giving records and doing the bank deposit, you know, checking all the names, making sure that everyone's giving. You know, I don't care. Do whatever you want with your money. But just understand this, that the tithe is the Lord's. You're not robbing Pastor Anderson. You're not robbing Brother Corbin. You're not robbing, you know, the staff here. You're not robbing Faithful Word Baptist Church. You're robbing God when you don't tithe. Okay? And that's just the plain truth. I mean, look at Malachi chapter 3. It says in verse 8, "Will a man rob God?" Now think about what he's saying here. Will a man rob God? What does it mean to rob somebody? You know, it means to steal something, right? If I were to rob you, I would take something that belongs to you and say, "This is mine now, and you can't have it back." That's what it means to rob somebody. And say, "Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee?" So, how do you rob God? Do you go up into heaven and break in through the pearly gates when he's not looking and bypass the security? You know, and go over to the God's dresser drawer and look for the pearls or something like that? Is that what he's talking about? I mean, you can't do that. He says, in tithes and offerings. That's how you rob God. When you hold back the tithe, when you hold back the offering, you're not robbing the church, you're robbing God. I mean, I'm assuming that's what everybody else's Bible reads there in Malachi chapter 3. Which means this, that, you know, when you rob God, you're basically taking money that isn't yours to begin with. I mean, if that was your money to begin with, could you really say you were robbing God? Right? Then, because then the tithe wouldn't be, if the tithe isn't the Lord's, you holding it back wouldn't be robbing God. Think about it. Because it's yours. It's your money. Right? But he's saying when you hold back the tithe, you're robbing me. Why? Because the tithe is the Lord's. You know, that's what we got to understand, people got to understand about tithing is that's God's money. And all of that money is God's money, not just the tithe, in fact. We'll talk about it here in a second, but, you know, when you're tithing, we're not tipping God. You're not just like saying, oh, good job, God. You know, thanks for the prompt service at church today. You know, here's a little tip, keep it going. You know, I'll be back, I'll tell people about you. That's not what it is. You know, and I heard this recently, too, and I was thinking about it, and I think this is a good, I agree with this. I would rather not tithe at all than just tip God. Than just say, you know, I can't afford to give God the tenth, but you know what? I'll throw a fiver in every now and then. Just kind of give God a little something, you know. Tell God don't spend it all in one place, you know. And that's, I mean, think about that. If you're God, that's like insulting. Because here's the thing, God doesn't need your money at the end of the day. And again, it's not your money to begin with, right? Really, when you think about it, tithing is something that helps the person who's tithing. I mean, who benefits from tithing? You say, oh, it's the staff. The staff benefits from tithing. No, the staff is getting compensated for a work that they're doing. The staff is getting compensated so that they can continue to do what they're doing, right? It's not like it's a little something on the side. It's what keeps us able to do what we're doing, you know. Tithing helps the person who's giving it. I mean, people who tithe, they learn a lot about, you know, money and understanding that, you know, life's not all about them, you know, that they learn how to let go a little bit of some things. And not only that, when you tithe, you get to see God work in your life and do things for you. Now, if you would, go over to, you stay in Malachi chapter 3. The Bible says, and look at verse 9, ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing upon you. You know, when God is telling you to tithe, he's not just saying, you know, give me what's mine. He's also saying, you know, you could take it that way, because that is true. But he's saying here, prove me. Prove me with the tithe. You know, give me what's mine. Give me what I ask for, God is saying, and see if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And, you know, I think this is very true. People who tithe consistently, people who are faithful in giving the tithe, they can probably all testify to this, that, you know, God has made ends meet for them and maybe even opened up the windows of heaven and just poured out blessings upon them for their faithfulness in tithing. You know, I'm not going to go there, but let me just give some tips to people who don't tithe. Here's tip number one. Try it and see what happens. Try it and see what happens. Try it and see it. You say, well, I don't know if I can afford to tithe. Well, just try it and see what happens. Try just making it the primary expense on your budget. Just at the very top of the list, before you write any other expense you have that month, tithe. And take care of it. And you know what you'll find out is that you actually can afford to pay the tithe when you make it the primary expense. Because look, when everyone, and people get in a bind financially when they get into a tight spot one month or, you know, things come up short, there's always a release valve. You know what I mean? There's always something that goes unpaid that month. But you know what? It should never be God. It should never be the tithe. That would be the last person you ever want to short that month. You know, it should probably be, you know, your cell phone bill or your cable bill or your internet bill. All these other things that we think are necessities, You know, those are the release valves. You know, maybe we don't go out to eat that month. Maybe we don't have, you know, steak every other night at home or something. But don't make God the release valve in your finances. Make him a priority and see what happens. I mean, this is the, do we believe the word of God? Do you believe the promises of God? He's saying, prove me. You know, try me. And see if I won't pour out a blessing upon you. Make the tithe your primary expense and you'll be able to afford it. Now, I want to just kind of close by giving a few tips just to people about tithing. Because these are things that, you know, we always talk about tithing. We talk about how it's the Lord's and, you know, prove it from the Old Testament, the New, so on and so forth. But just some practical tips about tithing that sometimes people have questions about. I know I had this question in particular came up was, do you tithe on the gross or do you tithe on the net? You know, do you tithe on your gross income or do you tithe on the net? Now, I'm an advocate of tithing on the gross because that is your increase. Say, well, I didn't get that money. That's not God's fault, okay? God's not the one that said, you know, took it out of your paycheck before you ever got to sod. That was, you know, the federal government, the state government. You know, God doesn't, you know, just because they rob you, don't go turn around and robbing God. That's kind of how I look at it, you know. And I bring that up because I didn't know that. Someone had to tell me that when I first got in church and started tithing, you know, so I've always done it that way. And, you know, the other thing that people ask about is, you know, do you tithe on your tax return? And, you know, we're coming into that season, right? Everyone's getting excited. You know, do you tithe on the tax return? Well, if you've been tithing, think about this. If you've been tithing on the gross, you already have tithed on the taxes. Right. You've already tithed on it. That's money you've already tithed on. So, you know, my take on that is if you've been tithing on the gross, there's no need to tithe on money that you're being refunded for money that you paid and tithed on. Does that make sense? Everyone knows how this works, right? They send you, you get a check, the federal government takes a portion, you tithe on the gross. Then the feds send you back something and as a refund on money that you've already tithed on. So there's no need to tithe on the gross. And, you know, the other thing I would mention is just tithing tithing for business owners, people who, you know, own a business. And let me just come out and say, I'm not a business owner. I've never been a business owner. I'm not the expert, but I know people who are. You know, Pastor Anderson owned a small business for many years. So he knows about this. And if you have questions about it, I could definitely, or you want more clarification, I could direct you to people that I've talked to about this and I know have, you know, sound wisdom in this area. But, you know, tips for tithing for business owners is tithe your personal increase and not the business savings. Tithe your personal increase and not your business's savings. People that have a small business, sometimes what they'll do is they'll think, okay, the business took in this amount. The business has a bank account and it has X amount of dollars, okay? It has $100 in the savings account. They got to the end of the month, the end of the week, whatever, and they said, you know, the business brought in $100. So they'll write a check, they'll tithe on $100 of the business's money, okay? You shouldn't do that because, one, not all that money is profit. And a lot of, because correct me if I'm, and I know I've never owned a business, but I'm pretty sure the businesses, they don't just take a hit on expenses. They usually kind of pass that along to the customer, right? They build that, they work that into the quote often. You know, they make sure that their goods and services help pay for the expenses. So a lot of that money that came in was just paying off expenses, first of all. It was paying for supplies for a job. It was paying, you know, some bill, some tax bill that you had to pay. All the many expenses that a business has to take on, you know, part of that $100 goes towards that. So that's not an increase. That's not profit. Okay? So don't tithe on that. What you should tithe, you know, good business practices, as I understand it, is that if you own a business, you have a separate account for your business where all that money comes and goes out of that account, and then you are an employee of that business. Even if you're the owner, this is good business practice, that if you're the owner, you cut yourself a check as an employee of that business, right? That's what you tithe on. Not how much money is in the business's bank account, but how much money you took from the business personally to pay yourself a salary or whatever. That's what you tithe on. And that's important because people, they don't know that. They get into these things and they think they have to tithe on all that, and I don't believe that's true. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and we'll wrap it up here. You need to tithe on your personal increase, not the business's savings. The Bible says in Deuteronomy chapter 14, thou shalt truly tithe all the increase of thy seed that the field bringeth forth year by year. So what does God say you have to tithe on? The increase, right? And when you read increase, think profit, right? 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 1. Now concerning the collection of the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. So what we tithe on is not, you know, just for small business owners in particular, it's not just, you know, whatever money comes into the business, it's whatever you have prospered from that business. It's your increase. It's what God has prospered you. So don't tithe on income that is reserved for expenses. And again, you know, if you have, these are just some practical tips I kind of wanted to make here at the end and give to people. And if you have more questions about that, you can come see me. I want to, you know, the vast majority of people in here probably aren't small business owners. But, you know, hopefully you got something out of that tonight. And if anything, you know, if you're not tithing, you know, I would encourage you to start. Not because we're up here begging for money or we need it or something. I would encourage you to do it for your sake, you know, because you don't want to be the person that's robbing God of what's rightfully his. And you say, well, I don't know about it. Well, think of, I love this. This is something that's always stuck with me. Someone said this to me once. Because one time I made a, you know, a smart remark about tithing, kind of like, you know, I dissed it or whatever. And the guy said, well, think about this. God asks for 10% and lets you keep 90. And again, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. So, you know, it's not just the tithe is the Lord's. You know, all of your income is God's. You know, the Bible says in Deuteronomy that, you know, he is the one that has given us power to get wealth. And of course, I'm paraphrasing. But the only reason you can even get up and go to work is because God has given you breath that day. The only reason you even have the ability to make that money is because God has given you the strength and the wisdom to do so. And so we're already indebted to him. In whatever way we prosper, it's all because of him. All of that money is his. And God is generous enough to only ask for 10%. And let you keep 90 of what's his. Think about it that way. You know, if you're having a tough time with this, if you're struggling with this topic, that's a good way to look at it. At least God's not saying, I'll take 90% and you can have 10. That would be hard, right? I might have some gold teeth up here at that point. I'm kidding. Bad joke. Right? But it's not that way. God says, you know what? I only need 10. I'm only asking for 10. He doesn't need it. He's saying, just give me the 10. We learned so many lessons from it about being generous people, being given, letting go of the things of this world a little bit, not holding so tightly to things like money, and getting to see, you know, what that, you know, when everyone's pitching in, everyone's doing their part and giving God what's his, you know, we can accomplish a lot more. Yeah. Like I said, we can have church without a tithe. You know, we just might do it outside the parking lot. You know, there won't be any, you know, SD card ministries or Indian reservation trips or all these other things that we get to do as a church. You know, there's not going to be, you know, the church picnic and all these other things. You know, so I would encourage you, just, you know, if you haven't done it, do it. And if you are doing it, you know, just stay faithful in that. And we could all just sit back and watch God bless us and our church. Let's go ahead and pray. Dear Lord, again, thank you for the great love wherewith you loved us. Lord, you've given us so much, Lord, in your Son and his death for us and salvation. You've given us a great church, great friends, a great ministry, Lord. And Lord, you give us what we need every day. And Lord, help us to trust you for our needs day by day. And Lord, help us to not rob you. Help us to be a people that are generous. And Lord, help us to be an obedient people that want to please you in this area of tithing. We pray and ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.